You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
It's my last year on tour.
Yeah.
And to get to play all the Grand Slams would be fun. But on saying that, it's always nice to play in Grand Slams where you can do well in. So for me, there are a few players that I have not played with yet, a few of the legends that I haven't played with yet in the doubles. But the ones I have played with are Rafa Nadal, Andy Murray. I've played with Stan Wawrinka, a few of those. But there are a few still left out that I haven't played with yet. So I was wanting to touch a few of them and be able to finish my career off playing with the past, the present, and some of the future.
So from all of those ones that you had played with, I know it's hard to pick one, but first of all, why you have chosen those partners? How do you choose the best partner for you?
That's a full interview in itself.
It's
a
long Well, try to.
But the ones that I mentioned, they're all legends of the game, right? So hence, to play with them is a real treat. I mean, to play with Rafa Nadal, his history is amazing, one of the best of lifetime, you know, tennis players in the world. Also to play like with the Stan Wawrinka, I wanted to learn the back end more, what he does on the back end, what he does, you know, with his technique, with his, you know, his body and how he leans into the back end. And in the practice sessions playing with him, he taught me a lot about the back end. And after playing with him, then I went on to play with Radek Stepanek and we won a few Grand Slams together again because the back end just got a little better. So, you know, you play with Andy Murray, you see how his returns are. His returns are incredible. I remember we played in Canada. I can't remember whether it was Montreal or Toronto, but we played against Kevin Anderson and someone else who has a huge serve. I can't see the other person's face yet, but they were hitting big serves and I was just trying to get them back to neutralize, but he was actually taking it on the half volley and hitting winners because he was moving forward with his body and the way he was doing things. So it's like, wow, okay, we can, the returner serve can be more aggressive. So you learn things like that. So I think it's always important to keep learning. Even if you win Grand Slams, even if you've won a lot of tournaments, it's always good to keep learning. So those guys are legends. So it's nice to play with them.
Lee, coming into this tournament, obviously you have great memories here. You literally started your career as a baby almost here. Was there any, you know, kind of, anytime you step on the court, you probably think it's going to be your last match because it could be the last match. What are your feelings, you know, coming on? Do you want to keep, like Wozniacki said, each time she just wanted to keep it going one more time, one more game, one more match?
Today I didn't feel it was my last match. Today I don't know, I have pretty good intuition. And I tell you, before I caught the flight to come out to Melbourne, there were a lot of emotions. I tell you, there are a lot of people in my team, including my father, who don't want me to stop. They know that the body is still very strong. They know the legs are still strong. They know the mind is still happy. There are few people in my team who want me to continue. But I think there comes a point, to answer your question, there comes a point where I've done so much already in tennis. You talk about tournaments, which one have you won, which one do you haven't won, how many Grand Slams have you won, do you have anything else to achieve, how many world records are there, do you still have to get? And I find like now I'm breaking my own records. So I think it's been a very blessed, you know, career. It's been a very blessed profession for me. And now there are so many other things that are catching my attention. There are so many other things that are left to do. So now I feel like getting on the court is, like, I had a lot of fun today. Going out there and playing with nothing to prove the last few years, just played because I really enjoy tennis. It's as simple as that. I enjoy the quality of life tennis gives me, including just what we're doing now. You meet so many different kinds of people. You'd meet so many different personalities, you know, and relationships go through long relationships. You know, you go through ups and downs and peaks and valleys, and in that, tennis is a great education also. It's a great learning. You know, for a few of us who have been there for so many years, you can learn so much through it. It's pretty cool.
The match today, how long did it take? Again, a new partner. How long did it take? did you hit with her before coming?
Yeah.
Or going
so we
course?
Hit yesterday.
Okay.
Yesterday, right? No, day before.
Yeah.
We hit day before together.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday she played a match.
Mm-hmm.
Today she played a match again. So we hit day before together, and in the practice session.
For how long,
we hit for about an hour and a half.
Okay.
But in about 20 minutes, I had a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Just hitting with her for 20 minutes, just putting her in different mm-hmm. positions to see what she does.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the speed of the ball. Mm-hmm. I knew what mm-hmm. she would try in different shots. So once I practiced with her, once I knew her rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Today on the court, it was the first set was more, I was playing very careful.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing like, this is my last match. And then after that, I started opening my shoulders and started playing, you know, my normal aggressive self. And I'm happy it worked out.
How do you hit off with your partners with ease? Like, if somebody would have seen the match today, it felt like you guys were playing with each other for a long time. People were questioning, like, who was laughing the most? Was it Leander or was it Ostapenko? Who was laughing the most? Like, it felt like going back years, like Navratilova, Hingis. So it's like, this is your first match together. How could you have your partners at ease?
Great
so
question.
Easy. There's definitely a lot of, I mean, that's something looks you have in, what's that?
Great question. When I was younger, I always looked for a partner whose technical strengths were better than mine. I always looked for a partner whose backhand was better than mine, so he could play the ad court, I could play the deuce court. I always looked for a partner who had a big serve compared to, I didn't have a big serve. So generally, if the partner had a big serve and a big backhand, he would be a little slower, which means my speed would take over on his speed, which means my net game would be better than his net game, so or her net game. So I always found partners who would technically complement me. But now when I look back over the years, I think that regardless of what strengths a person has technically, you look for a person who has respect. You look for a person who has a student-like ability to learn. Because I found that when I was younger, it was complementing each other technically. But actually, when you look at it, it's about complementing each other personality-wise. If two people or 10 people come into a room and you want to make something work, I guarantee it'll work. Because if you want it bad enough, if the hunger burns bad enough for anything in this world, you'll do what it takes, including supporting each other. And I think that's the important part, is to find someone who is a student of life, who wants to learn, and someone who has respect. Because with my personality, where I'm always trying to find the best in each person, even though we all have weaknesses, but I'll only concentrate on the strengths to bring that out, because I have to make up on the weakness. But by doing that, they sometimes take advantage of it, and that's not good.
You just mentioned that your mind's still strong, your legs still strong, your body is still strong, but you know, it must be a secret. It's 46 this year, and what's the secret to still in this such a good shape and be able to compete at this level? Because if you see either single players or even double players, they're not there. They're not keeping the pace of the high competition, the speed competition, especially in the Grand Slams. What's your secret?
I think that one is genetics. I think if you look at top athletes in any sport, you have to have the genetics to start with. You know, the muscle makeup, the height makeup, or the speed. We have to have something special. Because nowadays the quality of athletes in the world are so high. The difference between winning and losing is probably 1 or 2%. The difference between winning and losing is so small. In the first round, let alone in the final. Before, you could get past your first 2-3 rounds comfortably. You show up, the first round, the guys are scared of you a little bit, they feel pressure, they lose. Next round, because you can play faster and better, they lose. But now, in the first round, you don't have easy. So if you actually look at, one is genetics, two is hard work. You have to have a team that is amazing. So for example, you watched Roger 2 nights ago. he played a young Australian boy, and that guy was pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, and my God, phenomenal. Today, I think Roger's going to win easy because he's able to recover, because the fitness and the recovery, the knowledge has become so big now. Like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, there was not so much. You know, when I first started, John McEnroe was playing, Bogue was playing. The fitness, they were not doing as much as now. Ivan Lendl started it. One of my old partners, Navratilova, started it. And then you moved on. So now if you look in the locker room or in the fitness room, everybody's in there. Everybody's got some routine for themselves. So the fitness and mental level is very, very high. So guys like us are able to play long careers because, excuse me, we watch our diet. We watch our recovery program. Today, I've had to do all my recovery before I come here. Why? Because I might play tomorrow. I don't think I'm on the schedule, but I have to recover. If I wait, then the lactic acid builds up. At 47, I'll be 47 this June. It takes maybe 3 times or 4 times the same amount of work to get the same results that I used to get when I was 35. Let alone when I was 25, I could just wake up and play. But at 35, 40, 45, it's harder and harder and harder. But like I said, if you're passionate about it, if you enjoy it, then you do.
Yeah, you touched that concept of physical and mental well-being and your ability to recover. The knowledge has been moving. You started in the 90s. This is your fourth decade of professional circuit. And how much of... You've talked about physical training has changed a lot. How much of the mental part of it has changed? Because even though you could be physically healthy, but you need to be in the right space. Like you were saying, you were in the right space, and you're enjoying your tennis to play 48 days. What's the secret of your mental happiness? Because I believe is what made you play 28 years of professional circuit. If you can do it physically for a longer time, but you the smiles on your court is something everybody wants to have. So what's the secret of that mental well-being you have?
I think that is the most important thing in the world today, as an athlete and also as a human being, especially in our country. You find depression, stress is such a huge thing. You know, when you look at our daily work, right? If I can just speak to six of us in this room, the stresses that you've been through in the last month, the stresses you've been through in the last 3 months, stresses you've been through in the last year, the stresses you've been through in the last day maybe, just to do things, the stresses we go through daily life, your stress at home, your stress in the traffic, your stress in your food, your stress with your health, your stress with work, your stress. Stress is always coming at you. In this modern world, stress is always at you. You can't control what the world throws at you, but how you handle it, you can control. People can keep throwing shit at you. They can keep throwing stress at you, but how you deal with it is important. So it comes back again to a very balanced, smart, you have to be very, very smart, very intelligent, how to disarm people. Some people need the stick and some people need some love. It's how you do it. To recognize that is important. I think also when you look at depression, we go through a lot in our country. It's going to be the next big thing. One was diabetes. We were number one in the world at it. Obesity, number one in the world at it. Depression's the next thing that's coming to us. And I think that as much as I stood out as the one athlete from India who had the mental toughness and that ruggedness and things like that, I think it's almost a necessity for daily lifestyle to be balanced, not to get swayed by the stress and the nonsense that life throws at you, because there's no end to it otherwise. There's too much pressure otherwise.
So you talked about the game today, Leander. Like, talk us to the game. Like you said, like first game you were a little bit jittery, but I think you guys did absolutely fine. I mean, the other pair was a young pair as well, but then you guys were absolutely phenomenal. Like, was there moments that you could pick from the game that you would want?
In the beginning of the first set, we had chances to go up a break. We had a lot of deuce points. First game itself, we had a deuce point, missed out. The third game, we had a deuce point on the girl's serve, missed out. Then we had a deuce point on my partner's serve, got broken. Then we broke back. So the beginning of the match was just trying to feel each other out, you know. One, I hadn't played with my partner before, so to feel her out. And she was fantastic. She was smiling, she was happy, she was hitting shots. My God, she's a good tennis player. Her ground strokes are so powerful. Technique, so powerful. So it took me a little while to get, you know, that feel in a match. Plus also, I had not played the other opponents, you know, so get a feel of them. But I felt in the beginning of the first set, there was a chance we could go up. But then in the tiebreak, In the tiebreak, the other girl played unbelievably well. At 4-all in the tiebreak, my partner served to a backhand and she went bang, straight down the line past me for a winner. She was hitting some really good shots in the first set tiebreak. And I was playing a little too careful, just trying to, you know, get into the game. And then after we lost the first set, I sat back and I said, hey, you know, this might be your last Australian Open match. Go out there and swing away. Be as aggressive as you normally are. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Play your game. And then we went one love, two love, three love. It just started. And then I got rhythm. And then even in the match tiebreak, I think we were up 8-4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was 6-2, 8-4.
Yeah, 8-4. Yeah. And then
so
it was
good rhythm.
8-6, and then you finished it off.
So when you started in the early 90s as a tennis player, what were your dreams as a tennis player? Would you even imagine what you're going to achieve in all your years?
No, I wouldn't.
So when you started, what was your, okay, if I do this, I'll be happy. If I achieve this, I will be great news. So what was in your head when you started? When you started?
My mother captained Indian basketball at the Asian Games and the World Championships. My father won a bronze medal in field hockey in the 72 Olympics. I wanted to play for my country. The only dream that I ever had was to win an Olympic medal for India. And I grew up with a mother from Bengal, which is on the east of India, and a father from Goa, which is on the west of India. And both these two places are very big in football, soccer. So I grew up playing football. That's why these legs. And I'm more talented in football than tennis. When you ask the question, what was my dream? Was only to make sure I won an Olympic medal for my country. I never dreamed that I would have won 10, 20, 18 Grand Slams or all the results, number one in the world, or singles, you know, beating Federer, beating Sampras, beating Borg. I never thought I would do these things. I never focused on these things. Every Sunday in the morning, when I was a little boy, I used to polish my father's medal. And even now, sitting here now, you talk about playing for the country, you talk about, you know, today's Republic Day in India, just like it's Australia Day here. You talk about playing in the Olympics in Tokyo, and these are the things that make me fire. These are the things that sometimes the voices listen, hey, you know, your legs are still strong, you're still happy, your mind is still happy, you're still playing well, you know, you're winning matches. Sure you want to stop? So those games are always, you know, in the head. But it's been an amazing journey to not only win an Olympic medal in singles, but I had many chances in doubles. And now having the world record of the most number of Olympics played for tennis I feel good that as the young boy will be happy if he looks back now.
Yeah. So have you already thought about the first day of retirement? What are you going to do? How your life is going to change, if it's going to change in some way?
That guy and his whole team, they have got so many things lined up for me. They've got cameras following me everywhere. They've got many different big plans to do.
So we will see a Netflix series, documentary maybe?
You might be on it. But really, the dream would be to, my passion and my dream as a 47-year-old, what is my next, like the young boy, is to use my brand to create opportunities for children all over the world. And in India, we have 745 million children under the age of 25. To be able to give opportunity for them to become beautiful journalists, to become beautiful athletes, to become astronauts, to become scientists, to become a champion in their own way, in any way they would choose. just to be good people, to be good human being. Whatever you do, be the best that you can be.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.